You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
Here I come to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
Hello and welcome to the 71st episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, D.F. Jaren Mike, and today I'm joined once again, finally, after not being on the show for two episodes, Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello, sir.
Howdy, neighbor.
Yeah, you... Wow, that's a Mr. Rogers reference if I ever saw one. Oh, boy. Yes.
At least you caught it. I'm happy.
Well, yeah. Hello, Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers were my two educational programs when I was growing up. Thank you.
Good ones to have.
Yeah, thank God we didn't have that raping purple pizza pile of junk dinosaur.
Right on. Something we can agree on.
We are doing, today we're going to be talking about Mighty Mouse.
Yes.
Yeah. So what have you been up to, sir?
Let's see. It's been a while since I've been here, so I've actually don't think I've been taking a break from podcasting. I actually have been, which is odd for me. I've actually been listening to some podcasts lately.
Well, time.
Usually I just record them and I don't listen to them. Let's see. What are the most recent ones I listened to? Listen to the conversation, obviously, of the book and the game for War for Cybertron. What else have I listened to?
I think that's the longest feedback we've ever had on the website whatsoever.
Yeah, so now someone come and outdo me, leave some feedback. I listened to Steve Megatron's War Story 2.0. I actually went way back on Tooncast to try to listen to some of our early episodes to see how far we've come. And I listened to which episode? I listened to the episode of Mask back in, I don't know, in the first.
That's episode 8.
Yeah, I listened to episode 8. And now we're on 71, so I could definitely tell a difference.
Yeah.
Besides that, what have I been doing? I've been to the theater now 3 times to see Despicable Me. I kind of loved animated movies back in the 90s, and then I kind of took a break. And even though I know there was good stuff out there, I didn't watch a lot of the Pixar stuff yet. But
that's not Pixar.
No, I know. I mean, like when I think of like current animation movies, I think of like Pixar and
okay.
DreamWorks, and you know, Disney's kind of gone to like a second or third seat behind those guys, it seems like. Despicable Me, I didn't know what to think of it when I went to see it the first time, but that is an incredible animated movie. It's just fantastic. And maybe it's because one of the minions' name is Kevin, I don't know. But it's a great movie. So I've seen that 3 times, and then just been doing the same old stuff over at BTVA. Hopefully, by the time this airs, the commercials will have gone live, since I've already inputted about 35 commercials and mascots and voices and all of that. I'm just waiting on the head guy there to activate it so the public can see it.
Cool.
So that's been it, besides just doing the random...
I commented on something over there a couple weeks ago.
It was
The news story.
Yeah, I commented back because it was the news story about the hub and the new. They just did a major announcement. It'll be a couple of weeks ago since by the time this airs. But
I know. The comment was they got the title of the Justice League movie wrong.
Yeah, and that's not actually even anything we wrote. That was something that hub, whoever wrote the
article. Oh, okay.
And their press release got it wrong. They got a couple shows wrong, actually, if you read their press release. I don't know who did it, but it was just talking about all the new voice actors that have been announced for the different hub shows, which is exciting stuff.
Yeah, I guess if you have digital cable, which I don't, so oh well.
Gotcha.
I'll find a questionable means of watching it eventually.
Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to me talk about them.
Yeah. Let's see.
What have you been up to in the last couple of weeks since I talked to you?
Man, just recording. Like we said, I had Glade Packer and Jonathan Tadarian join me for episode 69, which is Johnny Bravo. had Derek Ferguson from Better in the Dark join me on episode 70, last week's episode. So, I don't know.
I'm just not a Johnny fan, apparently.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, though, it's... We're actually recording this a little early, but when this airs, it will be about 3 weeks. Yeah, it'll be like the middle of September by the time this airs, I think. I don't know. Too many podcasts, too many schedules to juggle, and not just schedules of co-hosts, just scheduling air dates and all. Oh, God. As much as I love doing this show, I'll be so fucking happy when it's done.
Blasphemy. Don't ever say that about your own podcast.
This, Beast Unleashed, and I don't have to worry about Secret Origins. My co-host for that kind of disappeared, so Secret Origins is at a standstill, so... But,
nice.
No, as of August, what the hell, as of August 11th, which, was about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, I got a whole bunch of crap in August. I got the SDCC Mighty Mug Prowl, Transformers Mighty Mug Prowl. I got the Mark VI Mighty Mug Iron Man, the metallic one from Movie 2. Although, it's not actually metallic, but it's metallic looking. Anyway, I got my very first order from MattyCollector.com, I got the Tokyo Mater exclusive from SDCC. And I love the Cars tunes. Those things are so hilarious.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them, so.
You haven't? That's blasphemy. Those things are awesome. After we get done with these, with this episode, go to YouTube and just look up Cars Tune or Disney Cars Tune, or hell, just look up Mater's Tall Tales, and all the episodes should show up. They're just funny little cartoon shorts dealing with Mater and him, you know, explaining a backstory of like an adventure he went on and all that, but those things are super awesome.
I'll do that in 65 years.
Yes, it's in the future. man, I wish that guy that Spider-Man used to hang out with, what was his name? The Beyonder. I wish he was here.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, come on. You know that was a blatant reference. Come on.
I know. It's good.
I also got in the Challenge at Cybertron 3-pack set from Big Bad Toy Store, which was Universe 2.0, Galvatron, Cyclonus, and Rodimus, but they were done up in different colors. Well, Cyclonus and Rodimus are. I don't know about Galvatron because I've never had that toy. But yeah, I got that in, so that's pretty cool.
Nice.
I guess I can go ahead and reveal this since, like I said, by the time this airs, everybody will already have known. I don't know how much YouTube you actually watch or if you subscribe to people or anything like that. I do. One of my buddies that does ToyCast every great once in a while, Pia, is one of those Transformers toy reviewers on YouTube. And he was running a contest the end of July, and it was the deadline was August 8th. He was going to give away a Transformers Animated Deluxe Rodimus Minor. There were six questions. If you answered all six right, you know, you got entered into the random number generator, and it pulled out whatever email said that, you know, this is the person that won. Well, he had 800 and something entries. Of those, 673 were correct. And I won.
Nice.
Yeah, it was the first contest I've won in over 10 years.
That was good.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? Not much else is going on. We will have already have interviewed him. Steve, Michael Wilson, and I are going to interview David Soboloff, voice of Depth Charge, for Beast Unleashed. So that was a pretty fun deal. Okay, so anything else?
I'm good.
Okay, so history lesson.
All right, folks, for today's history lesson, we can actually travel all the way back to 1942 to find the origins of the famous Terry Toon's character, Mighty Mouse, although originally he was called Super Mouse. Mighty Mouse proved to be Terry Toon's biggest star. Interesting to note, though, that it wasn't until Paul Terry sold his entire Mighty Mouse manifest to CBS in 1955 that we first heard the famous theme song music, which I'm sure will be in this episode somewhere. CBS continued to run the existing theatrical cartoon for 12 years, which maintained an average 11.6 rating with a 45.8% audience share. And for those of you that don't know what any of those numbers mean, that means it was doing real good for about 12 years. The late 60s and early 70s, though, saw Mighty Mouse fade to almost non-existence while superhero cartoons ruled the airwaves. However, in 1979, Viacom and Filmation brought the mouse back to life along with co-star segments for Heckle and Jekyll. This version was called The New Adventures of Mighty Mouse and Heckle and Jekyll. Mighty Mouse saw its third and final incarnation in the late 80s when Ralph Bashke and John Kay took over the character. This 1987 version was entitled Mighty Mouse New Adventures. All in all, the first series we will talk about ran for 32 episodes during its two-season run from 79 to 80, and the second series we'll talk about ran for 19 episodes during its two-season run from 1987 to 1988. So which, if either, series do you have memories of?
I have memories of both, but going back and watching them on YouTube... Oh, God. Just shoot me now.
Mm-hmm. We might actually agree on something here.
Just shoot me. I feel like Daffy. Honestly, right now, I feel like Daffy because it's like, you want to shoot him now or do you want to wait till you get home? Shoot him now. Shoot him now.
Yeah.
Why did you have to shoot me now? you know, I feel like Daffy with this one because I remember, and it's funny how I remember this. I remember watching New Adventures right behind New Adventures of Mighty Mouse. I remember watching that right behind New Adventures of He-Man.
Oh, God.
For some strange reason.
Oh, God. No wonder you're so screwed up.
Oh, shut up.
I'm just kidding. I honestly don't remember. I remember Mighty Mouse the character. Mighty Mouse the actual character was one of my favorite characters when I was real little as far as, like, watching the old cartoons. Mm-hmm. I liked him better than a lot of the Disney and Hanna-Barbera stuff when I was a kid. And I don't know what it was about him. I don't know if it was the music or his little, you know, Mighty Mouse is here to save the day type thing. But I love the character. Watching back at the YouTube videos of both the Mighty Mouse New Adventures and New Adventures of Mighty Mouse, I'm pretty sure I must not have seen those when I was a kid. Because watching those back, it was like I was watching it for the first time. And that's not the Mighty Mouse I remember. So I think the Mighty Mouse I remember is the original theatrical short Mighty Mouse. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have any recollection of these two shows, but I rest assured, listeners, I did watch, somehow made myself watch plenty of these episodes. So I do know what I'm talking about with this episode.
Yeah, I think I watched like two or three of each just to get the gist and feel of it and just to try to remember it. And neither one of them really gave me any lasting childhood memory.
No.
Like, I don't know.
This is weird because, so basically we've had three different Mighty Mouses. We've had the original theatrical short Mighty Mouse, mm-hmm. we've had the Filmation Mighty Mouse, and then we've had the Bashke John Kay Mighty Mouse. And they're all three incredibly different.
Wait, John Kay isn't that bastard that created that show that will never be covered on this podcast?
R&S, yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, be nice. But but yeah, those
it's
three
time to go into a rage.
The three versions of Mighty Mouse are so different as far as shows go. The tone of the show, the characterization of the individual characters, obviously, the voice acting, the either music or lack thereof, each of the three is so different and that's just very unusual. Usually you have some that are basically trying to be the same thing or trying to basically mimic the previous shows, and none of these did that. Which is weird. Just weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know. These are so far in the back of my mind, and even though, like I said, I did watch some of the stuff on YouTube, I don't know. I watched it and found myself not caring. I found myself seeing Mighty Mouse as a cross between Super Mickey and Superman.
Oh, God.
No, seriously.
I agree, actually, but I like him better than Mickey.
Hey, Mickey Mouse is awesome. Shut up.
Yeah, I can see the comparison, though. I mean, he is a kind of a cross between Mickey Mouse and Superman. Like, what if he was called Super Mouse like he was going to be originally?
Yeah, that would be a copyright infringement.
But getting into the actual characters, I mean, if you trace it back to its origin, there was basically three main characters that have been with Mighty Mouse from the beginning through all of its incarnations. That's obviously Mighty Mouse, who's the main character, and then you have Pearl Pureheart and Oil Can Harry. Those are the three that, if you're a fan of Mighty Mouse, you should know. Mm-hmm. And basically, Mighty Mouse is the Cape Crusader Mouse, who's as strong as He-Man, basically. Pearl Pureheart is his love interest or girlfriend or damsel in distress or hostage from the enemies, depending on which incarnation you're watching. And then, of course, Oil Can Harry is the bad guy, who is seen more in certain shows and less in others. But those are the three main characters. Do you have memories of those characters at all from your childhood or only from watching the YouTube?
The only memories I have of either one of these shows is Mighty Mouse himself. That's it. Just him going after bad guys. And the reason why I said he's a cross between Mickey Mouse and Superman is because when I was watching him zoom around in the sky a little while ago, when I was watching the episodes on YouTube, his face, when he's flying and his face and his ears are stretched out, he almost looks like Mickey.
Oh, yeah.
And every time that I did see him when I was a kid, he was always beating up the bad guys, so I just assumed it was a mousy version of Superman.
It was a steroid version of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
he's honestly the only character I remember from when I was a kid. That's probably because I just watched the shorts and I don't know. But even the shorts, I think those other characters were in there, and I still only remember Mighty Mouse. I love him as a character. I think he's great. He doesn't say a lot, but he's just kind of cool and funny, and I liked the music that went with him and the original stuff. But yeah, I don't remember Pearl Pureheart or Oil Can Harry at all. But watching these videos on YouTube, especially watching, only watching, obviously, the new, when I watched the new adventures of Mighty Mouse and Heckle and Jekyll, holy cow, when I started watching it, Oil Can Harry sure did sound familiar.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but I wouldn't have been able to tell you that that same person was also voicing Mighty Mouse.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you that. Now,
that's right. Well, I was thinking of the other one that's on the list, but yeah, you're right. Skeletor, Alan Oppenheimer.
I think even as a kid, if I would have seen this, I would have been like, why is Skeletor chasing Mighty Mouse? It is Alan Oppenheimer doing his exact Skeletor voice for Oil Can Harry. But I did not know he was doing the voice of Mighty Mouse as well. So that was kind of interesting.
And then the only other one I recognize, obviously, out of the new adventures is the man of 1,000 animal sounds, Frank Welker.
Yeah, obviously doing the sidekicks on the show, Heckle and Jekyll and Quackula, which we'll talk about once we get to the actual show. And then Diane Pershing was the voice of Pearl Pureheart. And this is all for the new adventures. It's a little bit different in the Mighty Mouse new adventure. Why do they all both have to have new adventures in them?
I don't know. It's really confusing.
we're just going to call it Filmation and Bashki or something like that.
There you go.
In the Bashki version, there's a lot less, a bigger cast, but the main characters are a little lesser known than what you had with Frank Welker and Alan Oppenheimer.
Well, I recognize Charlie Adler, Clive Ruppel, Joe Lasky.
Yeah, the kind of the additional voices are like the minor characters have a lot of famous voices. Neil Ross and like all the ones you said.
God, Neil Ross. Don't get me started on that.
I love Neil Ross. but for the main voices, you had Maggie Roswell, who I've never heard of doing Pearl Pureheart, and you had Patrick Kinney doing Mighty Mouse. He was Mainframe from G.I. Joe, one of the minor characters. And he was also Clone from Black Star. Those are the only two places I really recognize him from. But definitely a different take on Mighty Mouse than Alan Oppenheimer, and different take than the original theatrical shorts.
Yeah.
But how many episodes were you able to get through of the newer version?
2.5.
Yeah. That was just...
The theme song really kicked my ass on the new one.
I like the theme song on the new one better than the Filmation one, but nowhere near as well as I like the theatrical short music.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like, the new one, the voice acting was fine, I guess. It was a little more subtle than the voice acting on the Filmation one. The Filmation one was kind of hit you over the head with the voice acting, kind of, to me. Maybe that's just because it was Skeletor doing Oil Can Harry, I don't know. But yeah. I can't complain about any of the voice acting on any of these shows. I can complain about some other stuff, but not the voice acting.
Oh,
what do you think of the voice acting overall in the two comparisons, the two shows?
See, that's the thing, though, because I only watched, like, whatever select episodes I could find on YouTube.
Yeah.
I was just watching to get a feel for the show. I wasn't really paying that much attention to the voice acting.
Gotcha.
Just from what I remember as a kid, I did like the voice of Mighty Mouse that Oppenheimer did, but I couldn't remember. As of right now, I can't remember the life of what the hell it sounds like.
Yeah, I can't actually either right now off the top of my head. Kind of as we're going through, I'm just kind of trying to keep track of the different aspects of the shows and which I like better. And for voice acting, I think it's kind of it's a tie for me for both shows.
Yeah.
I will say the one difference for me is the narrator. Both shows had a narrator that basically introduced the stories, kind of like a homage to the old shorts. The narrator for the Filmation series I thought was awesome. I thought you did an incredible job of interacting with the cat or with the story and just kind of doing a great job, but I couldn't stand the narrator in the later series. I don't know if you remember the narration at all, but I will give narration to the Filmation series as a win.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember it.
You have to watch back, damn it. No, I wouldn't put you through that. So basically voice acting, characters, pretty even for both shows. Not a lot to say one was better than the other. My only thing was I liked the narration on the first series better. Do you have any other thoughts on characters or voice actors?
Not really, no.
Alrighty then. moving on.
Yes.
Going into the behind the scenes a little bit, I think you'll recognize the production team, obviously, of the Filmation one.
Well, yeah. Duh.
Lou Scheimer, Norm Prescott, and Don Christensen. You know, Prescott and Scheimer especially are in all the Filmation stuff.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like we've said...
You know, it's funny. Scheimer's in this as production, obviously, but... I'm surprised he was not a voice of any of the characters.
Yeah, maybe he did some of the one-shot timers or something like that. But yeah, I was kind of surprised because he usually does characters in the shows that he's in. And then, of course, the new series was produced by Ralph Bakshi. I don't know how to say his name, but whatever his name is. He was the producer. There's some other people involved as directors and writers, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
But there is an interesting kind of backstory to the production of the newer series. I did not know this before getting ready for this podcast, but maybe some of the listeners will find this somewhat interesting. Basically, it goes back to 1987, April. Bakshi set up a meeting with Judy Price, who at the time was the head of CBS Saturday morning block. Price rejected Bakshi's prepared pitches for other shows, but asked what else he had. He told her that he had the rights to Mighty Mouse, and she agreed to purchase the series. However, Bakshi did not own the rights and did not know who did. While researching the rights, he learned that CBS had acquired the entire Terry Toons library in 1955 and basically forgotten about it. According to Bakshi, I sold them a show they already owned, so they just gave me the rights for nothing. So that was kind of a interesting little backstory to the new Mighty Mouse show.
Yeah.
And basically, that's when he brought in your friend John Kay And his team, but you gotta stay with me for a second, because the team that worked on this is remarkable. I know you don't like John Kay, but on his team, Steve Gordon, Bruce Woodside, Bruce Timm, Andrew Stanton, Jeff Pigeon, Dave Marshall, a couple of the other names you'll recognize are Tom Minton, Jim Reardon, maybe. And we'll get to where some of these guys were from, but it was quite the team of kind of creator, writer, idea people that came together for the second show. But we'll get more into that in a little bit.
Yeah, just off the new adventures of Mighty Mouse and Heckle and Jekyll, Paul Dini, recognize him right away. Buzz Dixon, well, duh, you know.
Yeah, definitely those are the two that I recognize the most.
Yep.
And then, like I said, for the other show, the writers you might not have heard of besides maybe Tom Minton, who...
Yeah, Minton's pretty much the only one.
But we'll get to some other people that were behind the scenes that will kind of let you in on what they went on to do after the show.
Yeah. All right, so I guess getting into the actual show here. The new adventures of Mighty Mouse and Heckle and Jekyll relied on verbal humor to carry the show. The artwork was a lot more energetic than some of the original Terry Toons. Nonviolence was the main word here, though. Mighty Mouse used his wits rather than his muscles to defeat Oil Can Harry, who in turn was motivated by greed and selfishness. Rather than lust in his dealing with Pearl Pureheart. Ugh. I can already say I'll never watch this cartoon ever again. Mighty Mouse appeared in two weekly cliffhanging 7-minute episodes set in outer space, plus one self-contained adventure. Heckle and Jekyll cartoons were seen twice a week, and Quackula was seen once a week. It was shortened to a half-hour program in the second season, and Quackula disappeared. Maybe he went to Duckburg.
Maybe he went to Count Duckula. No, I don't know.
Count. Yeah. I want to suck your quacker. Mighty Mouse was also on hand to dispense the 30-second environmental bulletins. Oh, boy, it's Captain Planet all over again. Yikes. And safety tips that were dictated by CBS. The music was basically gone for the show because... of Filmation Brass, No More Opera, insisted Filmation's Norm Prescott in 1979. I don't think that singing superhero mouse would fly with contemporary audiences.
and that's going to be the one thing that my biggest fault with the Filmation show is one of the reasons I like the short so much is because the operatic music and I'm not a big fan of the opera, but the way they did it with the Mighty Mouse shorts, I loved the music. I loved the music they put in the shorts. I loved it when Mighty Mouse sang his little entrance song and stuff like that. And I wish that Filmation would have kept some form of music overtones and some of that kind of musical upbringing that Mighty Mouse had in their show. I wish they hadn't taken it all out. I think Norm Prescott was wrong with that. It's a superhero mouse. You can do anything with that and people will, you know what I mean? It's not like it's a serious superhero. Like, it's not like we're making Batman sing here. It's a mouse.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wish...
It's not like you could put Jerry Seinfeld next to a superhero singing mouse.
Oh, jeez. But I don't know. I wish they would have kept the music in Filmation.
Yeah. Never leave home without it.
Bada bing. In the newer series, basically the series was a commercial half-hour format, 22 minutes, basically. And each episode contained two... self-contained 11-minute cartoon segments. It differed from the earlier incarnations of Mighty Mouse in many ways. It gave Mighty Mouse the secret identity of Mike Mouse, kind of his alter ego, a sidekick in the form of the orphan Scrappy Mouse, Scooby-Doo, what? heroic colleagues such as the Bat-Bat and his sidekick the Bug Wonder. Wait, Batman and the Boy Wonder? And the League of Super Rodents. The League of Super... Oh, goodness. I hate John Kay and Ralph Bakshi sometimes.
I told you.
No, as well as introduce antagonists like Petey Pete or Petey Pate, Madam Marsupial, and the Cow. The original Mighty Mouse villain Oil Can Harry made a couple of appearances. Pearl Pureheart was not always the damsel in distress, and many episodes did not feature her at all. Mighty Mouse's light operatic singing was eliminated just like it was in Filmation, except they did bring in the Here I Come to Save the Day, which was sometimes interrupted in the series. But here we go. Unlike American animated TV series of the time, the show's format was loose and episodes did not follow a particular formula. Episodes varied from superhero-type stories to parodies of shows like The Honeymooners and the Batman series, and Japanese monster films. They even lampooned other cartoons, like Alvin and the Chipmunks. The series resurrected old Terrytoon characters and kind of threw them in, so every episode was kind of, you never knew what you were going to get, which is one thing that is kind of a trademark for John Kay and Ralph Bakshi. You never know what you're going to get, and a lot of times that's to their demise.
And a lot of times you don't want it. Yeah, exactly. Much like that whole MTV show they tried to do. Yuck!
Yeah, and if you've ever seen Ralph Bakshi's first film or first couple of things that he worked on, yeah, they're not allowed to be shown on TV.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of cartoon drug use and stuff like that. So they're a little bit out there, which is the opposite of Filmation. Filmation's about as straight-laced as you can go, and then you have these guys who are out there. So that's probably why we have two series that are completely different. I don't have anything else from the show except for that I could follow the Filmation shows a little bit easier. The newer shows kind of had me thinking, what the heck? Is everyone that's creating the show on drugs? But I don't know. Each one had its ups and downs. I didn't necessarily like one show better than the other. But I'd say if I had to pick one to watch again, I would probably watch the Filmation ones, even though they're really dry and kind of slow.
I'd rather sit through New Adventures of He-Man than watch this crap again.
Oh, God. I don't know if I can say that much.
I'd rather sit through a 12-hour Hannah Montana marathon than watch this shit.
Well, I might actually go with that.
Okay, sadly, so getting into the music segment for New Adventures, we have Ray Ellis and Norm Prescott, who are credited as Yvette Blias and Jeff Michael. What the fuck?
I don't know.
That makes no damn sense. Okay, cross-dressing. Never mind. Anyway. It
must have been some type of legal thing.
I have no clue.
And I don't know any of the music people from the second series.
Nope. Yeah, so they... No. Mighty Mouse New Adventures. No music. Getting into the legacy segment here. The show was considered revolutionary at the time. This is for Mighty Mouse New Adventures. Revolutionary at the time, and along with 1988's Who Framed Roger Rabbit, inspired a wave of animated shows that were much zanier than those that had dominated the children's animation in the previous two decades. It is credited by some as the impetus of the creator-driven animation revolution of the 1990s. It was a huge springboard for many cartoonists and animators who would later become famous, including that asshole John Kay, creator of the show that will never be covered on this podcast, Bruce W. Timm, producer of Batman Animated Series, Jim Reardon, writer for Tiny Toon Adventures, Wall-E, and director of many Simpsons episodes, Tom Minton, writer and producer for many Warner Brothers television cartoons, including Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, the Sylvester and Tweety Mysteries, Baby Looney Tunes, and Duck Dodgers. Lynn Naylor, don't know who the hell she is.
Character designer for Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Okay, yeah, and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, but it just had a lot of people. That's what I was talking about earlier. A lot of people that went on to do other things. And, you know, the ones that I obviously have heard of the most, obviously John Kay, Bruce Timm, Tom Minton. Those are some big names that were involved in the show, even if they didn't do that well in their show. I guess they had to learn somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And John Kay actually left the show after the first season.
Thank God.
He was venturing on to do The New Adventures of Beanie and Cecil, which also was a flop.
Oh, no. You mean to tell me he... Oh.
Apparently, he's all about new adventures.
Do you even remember Beanie and Cecil?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That show, the original show... When it was, it wasn't showing with Underdog and all that, but it was showing around the same time that Underdog and all that stuff was showing. That was my mom's number one favorite show, and I'm sorry, the fact that this asshole got his hands and made new adventures of, oh God, no.
It looks almost the same, but it's not.
God, no.
Like, just from the look, it looks like the exact same characters, because I did make a page for both the original and the new Adventures of Beanie and Cecil on BTVA, and the characters look a lot, you know, look pretty similar, but I haven't watched any, but I can guarantee that it's pretty different.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a lot of controversy that goes along with this new adventure show. Like I said, it kind of follows Bashki around a little bit. But the most famous controversy deals with a crushed flower scene. So let me explain here. During the production of the episode The Littlest Tramp, editor Tom Klein expressed concern that a sequence showing Mighty Mouse sniffing the remains of a crushed flower resembled cocaine use. Bashki did not initially view the footage. He believed that Klein was overreacting, but agreed to let him cut the scene. John Kay expressed disbelief over the cut, insisting that the action was harmless and that the sequence should be restored. Following John Kay's advice, Bashki told Klein to restore the scene, which had been approved by network executives in the CBS Standards and Practice Department. The episode aired without controversy until later that next year, when head of the American Family Association alleged that The Littlest Tramp depicted cocaine use, instigating a media frenzy. Basically, there's a whole big old deal, and eventually the episode, or that part, got recut, even though Bashki defended the episode, saying, "I despise drugs. I would be out of my mind to show a cartoon character snorting cocaine in a cartoon." But I don't know. He said that it was just sniffing the flower, and that the white line was supposed to represent the nose sniffing it. But
yeah, right.
Basically,
yeah, right.
CBS supported him, but it's just another one of things that's kind of followed his career. He always is pushing the envelope, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get into some of the legacy stuff that's come out of.
Yeah, there's been comic book spinoffs for Mighty Mouse New Adventures. There's been DVD releases. On January 5th, 2010, CBS DVD/Paramount released the complete series on three DVDs, with every installment of the Saturday morning cartoon uncut and presented in the original full-screen video format. The collection includes the uncut version of The Littlest Tramp. Oh, there you go. But features an error in the version of Mighty's wedlock whimsy included on the set, where the penultimate live-action shot of layout artist Ed Bell is substituted with an animatic version of the shot. The actual shot appears in the included documentary. Among the extras are documentary Breaking the Mold, the remaking of Mighty Mouse, and commentary tracks for several episodes. Also included are three original Terry Toons theatrical Mighty Mouse cartoon shorts as taken from Paramount's vaults, which are the first ever official release of Terry Toons material on DVD.
There are no DVDs of, besides what's included on this one, there's no DVDs of the Filmation series or the theatrical shorts that I've seen. So this is really the only full Mighty Mouse show that's gotten the DVD treatment.
Yes. And, yeah, no IGN rating.
No, not for any of these, which doesn't necessarily surprise me. I wouldn't have had a problem if this was like one of the only shows that they didn't rate, but that means nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, just looking back at some of these, at all the Mighty Mouse history, if you're going to watch Mighty Mouse, if you've never seen it before, or if you think you remember it from your childhood and you want to watch something, you want to watch the original theatrical shorts. The original theatrical shorts is the best Mighty Mouse there is. These two shows do not do the shorts justice, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel. I don't know if you remember the original theatrical shorts, but if I was to rate them, original theatrical shorts would be better than both of these shows together.
But the only thing I remember from Mighty Mouse is watching him fly around and operatically singing, "Here I come to save the day." That's it.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's
Mighty Mouse is on his way.
Yeah.
The theatrical shorts is where it's at. That's where you should watch. You know, the only thing that you should do with these other two series is maybe watch it on YouTube. Don't spend money on them. Don't spend money on anything that says New Adventures and Mighty Mouse in the same sentence.
Exactly.
I still love the Mighty Mouse character, but these two shows were not good.
Nope. Hey, maybe that rumored quote unquote live action or CGI film would be better.
Oh God. Oh God.
And now that I've made Kevin's head explode, we'll be right back after this.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast.
Quimby here, and your assignment is to listen to all the Geekcast Radio Network's podcasts.
Now back to Tooncast.
Yeah, Super Mickey Mouse Man needs to go away. That's my final thoughts.
My final thoughts are, if you're going to do it right, and so far nobody has. It's a good character. It's a good idea. I like the Superman-Mickey Mouse combination. I actually like Mighty Mouse. I like his look. I like his sound. I like his idea. I don't like how it's been done in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
If you go back to the 40s and 50s, it was done right. It hasn't been done right since.
Yep. So, thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. So, if you get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Please do this unless you're a co-host. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. GCRNTooncast is the Twitter name, is the show's Twitter. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Boss K-Dog.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network and Behind the Voice Actors. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you will join us next time when we will be reminiscing on Danger Mouse. Yay, a mouse that actually excites me for a cartoon.
Maybe he'll save the day.
No, I doubt it. Spies don't
really do that. You save the day. Sorry. It's the last time you'll ever hear that.
Okay, let's hope. Good thing you're not going to be on the last 9 episodes of this show. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
He's the greatest. He's fantastic.